I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So, very good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview coming to you not live from the Valley. It's just a podcast this week. My name is Louis Mendes and joining me here at the Valley is Mr. Tom Warning. How are you doing, Tom?
Good. Yeah, better you're late than never.
Yeah, exactly. And yourself, Nathan, how are you doing?
Living the dream, mate.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Nice and light in here now.
Yeah, we've got brand new lights.
Very bright.
Yeah, I mean, completely. I mean, I know there was that story going around about no lights at the Valley, but we have since
got some new ones.
Got some new ones. I mean, this is the brightest I've ever seen.
We've taken the lights from everywhere else.
Yeah.
And just put them in here.
All the bonus money has gone on these lights, and money well spent, in my opinion.
Yes. Definitely.
Right on tonight's big match preview. We will be discussing the fact that Charlton have signed Josh Cullen on loan from West Ham United. Today we'll hear from Lee Bowyer about him and about one other potential signing. Who it is, we don't actually know. So we're not even going to guess, but we'll hear what Lee Bowyer says the sort of player he is. We'll hear your fee road reviews on the Cullen signing. We'll also hear from Lee Bowyer's press day today. He talked about the current state of the club and he was asked if he has the most difficult job in football at the moment. So we'll hear that discussed about that, discuss Roland's reaction to the current state of the club in a couple of Belgian stories this week, which we'll hear about. We're going to hear from Dylan Phillips. He came in to speak to the press after the Fleetwood game on Saturday. We had some interesting stuff to say about Jed Steer coming in as well, which was good to hear. Then we'll start to gear up and look ahead to Saturday's game with Southend. Southend United.
Chris Powell United.
We're getting there in a minute. Chris Powell United, Southend. That's it. Doesn't make sense, but that's who it is. They've renamed the club Chris Powell United, as they should have done when Chris Powell was here at the Valley. We'll talk about that. We're going to hear from Nick Alica from BBC Essex. And then, of course, we'll hear from Bayer again as we look ahead, find out who's back from injuries and such for that. But, I mean, first things first, we mentioned at the top of the show there, Tom, signing has come in today. Josh Cullen has joined on a year-long loan from West Ham United. Midfielder. Sounds like he may well be the business.
Yeah, I think it's a really good bit of business again. I saw him a little bit at Bradford, and obviously they went on to have a really good season the season he was there, and from the sound of what Bradford fans have been saying, and West Ham fans, to be fair, which is a good reaction to go on, is what the fans of clubs who've had him think. We're getting a good player, and he was apparently instrumental while he was there. I've seen his interview today as well. He looks keen. He ticks the boxes that we need in terms of a box-to-box midfielder, someone who can hopefully fill in with the Jake Forster-Caskey role that obviously we're lacking at the moment, and most importantly for someone coming in as well, he's had a pre-season and he's even played a couple of games so far, so we're not having someone that we've got to get up to speed, because the likes of Reeves and Clark and Fosu are going to have to do that. So he's someone that can come straight in on Saturday, whether he knows the lads quickly enough to do that, although obviously he knows a few of them already, we'll see, but I expect him to be involved in some capacity Saturday as well. So yeah, I think it's a really good bit of business.
Yeah, he would have been involved in pre-season games. He was an unused substitute for West Ham during their cup win over AFC Wimbledon on Tuesday evening as well. 22 years old, Nathan. I mean, it sounds like Bowyer and Steve Gannon have been chasing him for a while, and it's quite interesting that obviously this is one that seems to have been the way a lot of the business has been done so far this summer. They've gone on specific targets that they believe are going to improve the team. And so far the players that have come in have. So you can see if they're saying that they've waited this long for this specific player, then you assume that he's going to be a good player. 40 games he played in the league when he was at Bradford in the season they got to the playoff final as well.
Yeah, and I think like you say, Bo said this, and I agree with him, there's no point bringing in people just to make the squad, you know, just average, and they aren't better than the people we've got. I mean, what's the point in paying wages and probably fees as well that are probably similar sort of quality? They might be more experienced, but they have similar qualities to sort of, you know, George Lapsley and Albie Morgan. It's just a waste of money. So I think like Tom said, it's something that we don't have in terms of a box-to-box play. It'll probably give Darren Prattley a little bit of a breather because he can play deeper. But I think it's a good signing. And like you say, I think every player that Bowes has signed, and he's kept to his word, has improved the squad from last year.
Doesn't get a lot of goals. He's only scored one league goal in his entire career so far over, obviously mainly at Bradford. 9 appearances at Bolton last year. But that's interesting. You could say the same about Jake, really, before Lee Bowyer came in. So I just wonder if that's something that Bowyer's going to be thinking, he's going to coach that and add that to his game as well.
Yeah, that's exactly the point I was going to make, that Jake was in that position when he came in. You could argue Joe as well. I know he's very, very early on in his career, but was it start of last season, or he went through a little patch where he started getting goals last year. So it's something that Bowyer and Jacko, obviously, who got a lot of goals for us during his time as a player with us, both of them are going to look to get the midfielders forward and add to that. I mean, last year we had to do it because we were playing with the one up front a lot of the time. But even with two up front now, we need goals from all over the pitch. We've seen in the last couple of games, although Grant and Taylor are still getting in the right positions, they're maybe not taking their chances. So if you've got a midfielder bursting into the box, like we saw Forster Caskey do so much away at Bradford last year, a really good example, last season, then that's something we need. You know, Joe himself has said this season he's disappointed he hasn't started scoring again already. As Nath says, Prattley, I think, needs a bit of a rest anyway, and I don't think we're going to see a huge amount of goals from him. But those other lads, we need them to get goals if we're going to be up the top end of the table. And Cullen said it himself in his interview with the club. He said, look, I want to try and add more goals to my game. Bowyer said he talked to the player, so I'm assuming this is the one he was talking about. And you can see from Cullen's interview, he's excited to work under a player who's got Bowyer's pedigree. So I think with him and Jacko coaching him, there's no reason why he can't go on to score goals.
Yeah, he certainly does seem to be a big pull, doesn't he, Lee Bowyer? Obviously, the level he played to in his career certainly seems to be one that players are happy to come and get experience from him. It's funny with Cullen, he seems to know half the squad already. So Lewis Page was obviously at West Ham. Clark and Marshall were both at Bradford City while he was there, and Darren Prattley while he was at Bolton Wanderers last season. So he's already halfway integrated with the squad anyway.
Yeah, I mean, especially with obviously Page, he's apparently really good mates with, and then Prattley and Clark, the two people who could be playing alongside him. So I think it's only a positive, certainly in terms of chemistry, and he'll know how they play and they'll know their strengths and weaknesses. So I think it's a good fit all round. Whether or not it'll come straight into the team, I don't know. But yeah, I think it's a positive signing, and obviously I think we've got a small squad anyway, it isn't going to take him that long to sort of get to know everyone. So
yeah, competition wise, I mean, who do you think he would be displacing in the team? I mean, we've seen pretty much Lapsley and what's his name?
Morgan,
sort of interchanging a little bit over the last few weeks. So do you think it's more likely to be the youngsters? Or would it be Prattley? Would it be a Rebo that would get displaced? Or do you think there's going to be a hell of a lot of rotation as we go through the...
Yeah, I think we will set up differently for different teams. I think immediately the likelihood is Prattley will get a rest, because Bowyer wasn't even sure he was fully fit for the first game of the season. I think he's played every minute since. So I wouldn't be surprised if he comes out immediately. But then I think he will be mainly the youth, the younger players that you're looking to. I'd expect a Rebo to start most games. Prattley, if he's fit, I think so as well, because just of that engine room feel that he's got about him. And then you're looking at the likes of Cullen and Clark and Lapsley and Reeves, those sort of players to all filter in and out depending on the system we're playing. Obviously, when Fosu comes back as well in terms of adding width, so it will depend on whether we're playing the three at the back or whether we're playing 4-4-2. But that's where I expect him to fit in.
Right, the signing was actually announced just after Lee Bowyer's press day. So we've got a clip from press day where he alludes to it, to Cullen, and talks about the sort of player he's going to be without actually naming him. And then he also adds that he's still in the market for one more. Obviously, the transfer deadline for loans closes tomorrow, Friday, if you're listening on the podcast, 5 o'clock on Friday the 31st. So it's going to be Friday that we're going to get the last one through, if we do. And Bowyer sort of hints about who that player is in this little bit of audio. But first of all, I think he's talking about Josh Cullen there.
We've agreed everything with one player. It's just a matter of time before that happens now. That will be happening today. We're negotiating for another player. We're hoping that happens today as well. And then we'll see what happens on Friday. But the most important thing for me is to try and get these two over the line, because they will improve our squad quite a lot. So... I think the fans and the players will be over the moon with the two that we're looking to bring through the door.
Confident?
very confident on one because he's someone that I've been speaking to for a while now. Spoken to people at his club and they've been great, you know, and to make this happen. So the lad wants to come and play and he's got good experience in this league and he's a very good footballer.
Now, I know you're not going to name names, but can you say what positions they play in?
Midfield. One's a midfielder, central midfielder. He's, like I said, a good player, and one's like a winger. So he can play anywhere across the top, really, 7, 10, 11. Very versatile and again, a very good player. So that's someone, that's the second one, but we ain't quite there yet with him. But the first one, a central midfielder, yeah, that's just a matter of time now.
So we go, there's Lebo. You're talking about our new loan signing and one more, perhaps, he's hoping to get in. The one he's hoping to get in, looking like he's sort of going to be someone who can play on the wing or up top, which is something he's talked about that throughout the summer, really wanting that sort of player. It's just, there doesn't seem to be any names floating about at the time of recording, which is unusual, really, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the weird thing, is that I can't really work out who it's going to be. And he seems to suggest that we're at least partly on our way to sorting that deal out as well. But yeah, I haven't really got a clue. I think it's positive because, again, I mean, we've talked in depth about Marshall on several shows. He's really struggled to get back to grips with it at the start of this season. Fosu's obviously injured, but even when he's fit, you're just looking at him really wide. Unless you're putting Grant out wide as well, he's really the only player we've got. So, yeah, I think, I mean, there's plenty of areas we do still need to strengthen in terms of having numbers, but I think having a wide player like that, again, to try and add goals and not rely too much on the front players, it is a positive thing if we can get them through the door.
Do you think of any names out there, Nate, that you'd like, or the sort of player that you'd think about?
Yeah, I mean, what I'd like to say, I mean, if everyone was fit, he's like a winger striker, didn't he? So you'd like those front three, or the two and then the one behind, to be quite fluid. Mm. So you still got Clark to come back. But, I mean, the first name that would come up to me would be Mavadidi, but obviously he's gone Juventus now. But it would be someone of that ilk, I would imagine.
Mm. So annoying when we keep getting pipped to players by Juventus, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. I mean, Ronaldo was on
twice in one summer.
He would have fitted that profile perfectly because he could play on the wing or up top. But
he's not really a sick note, so he won't fit in.
That's true. So,
yeah. But yeah, no, I don't, there'll be someone out there. They've obviously kept it under wraps. But it's certainly, it'll be quite nice, a nice little surprise. Bowie said he's a very good player. So if he's going to improve on our forwards at the moment, then it can only be a positive thing.
Well, let's hope that someone does come in, like I say, by time of recording. You'll know better than what we do. Right, I asked for some three-word reviews of the signing of Josh Cullen from West Ham. Let's just pick a few of the favourite ones. Bob Liscombe says it's a real catch. Paul Griffiths says it's much-needed help. Quizzy says similar, much-needed reinforcements. Daniel Traffin, any old iron. Pretty clever, that. Daryl Hughes, covering the cracks. Will Bolland said, finally, midfield creativity. David Filmer, another astute acquisition. Woody, Essex Owl, says Lee, Steve, brilliant. Referring to, obviously, the manager and the head coach. Ben Hunt, better than Kante. Well, we'll see. Jack Max says, Bradford are fuming. Kai Williams says, I am excited. But I don't know if he was responding to the three-word review there, or if he's just letting us know how he's getting on at the moment. CAFC, since 1973, says, Bowyer works miracle. 100% Charlton. Bowyer working wonders. Rob Waghorn, Bowyer, well done, Bowyer. Franco says, better than Zidane. So he's better than Zidane and Kante so far, which is very promising. Ev James said, it's not enough, but then adds, he is good though, or he's good though. So there's your free word reviews on our new signing, Josh Cullen from West Ham. It'd be interesting to see if he does feature on Saturday. Like I say, he was on the bench for West Ham during the cup game during the week, so you'd assume that he is pretty much match fit and ready to go. So hopefully we'll get a first glimpse of him on Saturday. Right, let's have a quick break here on Charlton Live, then we're going to come back and talk about the general state of the club, because it's always fun to talk about that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Silver steps in, wins it back for Charlton, comes away on a run and then feeds Fosu over halfway. Fosu on the left-hand side, heading towards the penalty area, looking to take on Pond. Gets in the box, is he going to fall over? No, he's got it, Jeffries! There's number three!
Talking about it's Charlton Live, the big match preview here, podcast only this week. We had train problems getting to the Valley. So we weren't able to broadcast live at 7. Not many people actually listen live at 7 on a Thursday evening, to be fair. Most of you listen via podcast, so it made no difference, really. But just for the few of you that do listen live on a Thursday evening, we should be live on Sunday evenings, assuming everyone gets here on time. We are planning on going live on Sunday evening. Right, today's press day. There's an interesting clip. Lee Bowyer was asked by Sky Sports about, obviously we saw the protests at the Valley on Saturday here, the crisps were thrown onto the pitch. It garnered so much media attention and it's still going on now because it's got Sky Sports coming down to press day, which they wouldn't normally do, to ask some more questions on that. So we're going to play you the clip now so you can hear it for yourself. Lee Bowyer was asked if he had the hardest job in football, was told you may well have the hardest job in football, and asks if he actually enjoys his role here at the Valley.
Yeah, I'm happy. Obviously, there's pros and cons to every job, I think. But what I do is work with the players on the pitch from Monday to Saturday and play games, and that's my job. And I enjoy that, and my squad of players are enjoying that. So everything else that goes on in and around the club that I can't control, I try not to focus on that side and make sure that nobody else does.
Understandable that you want to focus on the positives and the controllables, as you put it, but as we saw at the weekend, stuff that's happening off the pitch is directly affecting what's happening on the pitch. You know, the fans are protesting, there are rumours that staff aren't properly being paid bonuses and things like that, so it's almost infecting what's happening on the pitch, would you agree?
No, I wouldn't say it's affecting. I think we're still playing well. Okay, some of the results we've been a bit unlucky with. But as a whole, like I said, them types of things I can't control. So, but it's not affecting our performances because we've been playing well. Again, the weekend, I think we created enough chances and had good possession in good areas, so I wouldn't say it's affecting us on the pitch. I wouldn't say that at all, no.
And you feel, you said that the players are enjoying playing football at the moment, despite the ruckus happening around them?
Yeah, because every player you speak to, all they want to do is train and play. They just love playing football. And that's no different with our players. So, yeah, they're enjoying it. I hope they are. They look like they are every day, so apart from when they're running. But apart from that, yeah, they're enjoying it. You know, there's a good atmosphere around the place. We're getting players back from injury now, which is important. Obviously, some of the results we had, the first two, three results, we was down to bare bones, you know. But now that's starting to change, and now I expect the results to start changing.
Have you had to sit the players down at all and say, right, this is what's happening with the club, we're going to separate what's happening outside to what we're going to do on the pitch? Have you had to have that talk with them? Because they must see the media, they must see the papers.
No, because I had that talk when I first took over, back end of last season. So they know the situation. Like I've just said to yourself, that we can't control what's happening there. Our job is to play football and win games. That's it. And there's no point bringing any negativity in and around the players, because that's nothing to do with them. Their job is to train hard, work hard, win games. That's it. It's that simple. So, no, I haven't had to have that talk with them now. They know the situation, and I won't let that negativity come in and around the players at all.
What's your relationship like with the owner of the club?
It's good. It's good. I speak to him on the odd occasion. He rang me Sunday, said, like, are you okay? Obviously, after Saturday's events, I said, yeah, I'm fine. Obviously, I'd rather it didn't happen, but again, that's something that I can't control. That's something that's been going on at the club before I even arrived at the club. So, the owner wants to sell the club. He's waiting for the right people to take over, and it will happen when it happens. Again, that's something that I can't control, but regarding relationship-wise, he's backing me regarding the players I want to bring in, and as a manager, that's all you want.
Granted, you can't control what happens off the pitch. Do you sympathise with the fans and the fact that they're protesting? It's for the love of their club, isn't it?
Yeah, every fan loves their club, but I think that all I ask from the fans, and I do it in every press conference, is that they're there to support the lads. Just be there, support the lads, because they need their support. I know that. I was a player, and that's all I ask from the fans. Again, it's something that I can't control. Whatever is going on between the owner and the fans, that's something that I can't control. But when I speak to the fans, I ask for their support regarding for the football club.
So there's Lee Bowyer chatting away with Sky Sports during his press day earlier on today. I mean, talking about the general state of the club, of course, as we were saying just before we heard that clip, you know, there's a hell of a lot of media interest in the club at the moment because of what's happened over the last couple of weeks with the staff writing the open letter to Roland Duchatelet after their unpaid bonuses, which they claim they were promised. The fans throwing the crisps onto the pitch in reaction to that as well in support of the staff. And he was asked whether it makes it more difficult for himself. But he doesn't seem to think so, does he?
No, not really. And I think that's right. When we were at the height of the protests a couple of seasons ago, it didn't seem to affect the players then. If anything, they seemed to, I don't know whether it was just coincidence, but they seemed to perform better on those days and get results. So I don't think it really does have an effect too much on the players, and he's another manager that's quite protective of his players and hopefully keeps them kind of out of it all. He's right in asking for the fan support, you know, once the game kicks off, and to be fair, I think we've always done that as a fan base. We know that the fight's not with those players and not with him. So yeah, he seems to be just kind of the same old phrase, it is what it is. He's happy for the fans to get on with it, and he knows that the argument is between the fans and Roland. And then when we get on the pitch, the fans back the team. And as I say, I think over the last 3 or 4 years, that's exactly what the fans have done.
I mean, he says he doesn't think that the situation at the club affects what goes on the pitch. Now, I mean, people will say, well, it's taken us a while to start getting a squad together, and some people still say it's still a short squad. It's better than it was at the start of August, for example, now with the signing of Josh Cullen and a couple of others, in the month that we've had. But I mean, surely whereas the protests between, you know, the arguments between the owner and the fans might not affect what happens on the pitch, you'd have to say that surely the fact that he's clearly cut the budget, playing budget, that must have affected what Bowyer could have done this summer.
Yeah, I think in the grand scheme of things, it obviously does affect, like you say, in terms of the personnel. But when I hear Bowyer, I mean, I think he only means in terms of, you know, on a match day, I mean, they'll still prep the same way. Maybe, yeah, they'll have not enough players. But as soon as you cross that white line, you don't really think about anything that, you know, what's happening. And I think they just go out to win the game, and that's all they can focus on. Because I think if they start thinking about all the other stuff in between, I think they might start finding excuses. And I think that's what Bo doesn't want people to do, is just blame performances on the stuff that are not, you know, that are happening off the pitch, which to an extent that in the grand scheme of things, yes, but not on a day-to-day basis because you just go out and try and win games.
With the fact that there is this current argument between the three, obviously Roland du Châtelet loves speaking to the Belgian press, doesn't he? And couldn't keep his mouth shut. Now, I'm going to give you... There was a story in I think it's Knack, it's called, a Belgian publication that Heather McKinley has translated. I'm going to give you just the snippets from the top of it that she put on the forum. But this sort of discusses what he was talking about. First of all, du Châtelet admitted that football, getting into football was a mistake. He's done that before, actually. Admitted he's wanted out for a while. He says he intends to sell the club, all these football clubs, but he's not in a hurry. She's not exactly what you want to hear, really. Then it's quite interesting that he started talking about sort of social issues over in Belgium as well. Because he's talking about how people in Belgium earn too little money, but that his own employees have no complaints. But then, obviously, it's been pointed out that since then, there are some of his employees have got quite a few complaints. And he was talking about how the protests don't really... He said, they don't affect me. I don't want to listen about it. He's talking particularly about the Roland Out Today party as well. He used some quite bizarre phrases when translated to describe them. I'm sure in his native tongue, they made sense. But he clearly doesn't have any time for them. But at the same time, the fact he's out there talking about them surely must show that they're getting to him a little bit.
Yeah, and I think we've seen that the protests out in Belgium have always affected him. It's very rare that something has happened out there and he hasn't bit back with some sort of statement or comment. I think it's no surprise that he chooses to go to the media there, who perhaps don't have the full story, because I think if he tried to release a story like that here, it would come under a much more intense scrutiny. And also, in terms of saying his employees haven't got complaints, again, I don't know if he's just referring to the ones there, but I thought that the fair employees here had literally written a complaint letter to him. So I mean, he's got a letter somewhere which is literally a letter of complaint against him. So yeah, it's a bizarre thing. As I say, I think over there he perhaps doesn't get as much scrutiny and come in for as much criticism about it all, particularly the Charlton focus. Maybe that's why he tries to do it, defend his reputation a little bit there. But as I say, if he was to come over here and try and do it at one of our newspapers, as you say, Sky have come down to our press conference this week, which they wouldn't usually do. I think the media here, although we would want more out of them, I think they're aware enough of what's going on. Whether they do enough or promote it enough or whatever is not for me to say, really. But they're all aware of it. And I think he would, as I say, come under a lot more scrutiny if he was to try and make those comments here.
Are you feeling like there's an end game at any point, Nath?
No,
you'd hope so, but I think it's gone on for so long now. I'm just one of those boring people who's just waiting until it's on the official site. Really, I mean, there's always ups and downs, and you know, people were told things that never come to fruition and stuff, which, you know, it happens. I mean, obviously, Bose said the other week, you know, if it hasn't happened by the 31st, which is what, Friday, is it?
Tomorrow.
Or Sunday? Or tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Lost track of days. Yeah, if it hasn't happened tomorrow, then they'll have to sit down. But I'm hoping something does happen tomorrow, but I'm not going to get my hopes up. Because I just think it was a bill all over again. And I'm not doing it anymore.
Yeah, excellent. Right, on a high note there, we're going to end it. We're going to go into the break. When we come back, we're going to hear from Dylan Phillips.
Occupying that left-hand side at the moment. Little step over onto his left foot. Marshall, ball in the box is good. And Rebo, first time.
Oh, what a goal!
Lovely finish!
Oh, what a goal!
Joe Rebo gives Charlton the lead. Great ball in from Mark Marshall on the left-hand side. Chips it in. And Rebo, with a calm left-footed volley, have found the bottom right corner and Charlton have the lead.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview here. We're going to be looking ahead to Saturday's game over at Roots Hall against Southend, or Chris Powell United, as I rechristened them earlier.
Lipo Reflex.
Yeah. Right, in a couple of minutes. Now, obviously, Dylan Phillips has been Charlton Athletics' number one so far this season. He's barely put a foot wrong as well. But also, of course, Jed Steer was brought in, a very experienced goalkeeper on loan from Aston Villa earlier on in the summer. So at the time, we were starting to worry if that meant that Phillips was going to lose his place. But certainly not something that's had Dylan Phillips too worried.
Bowyer's always told me that that's what he wanted to do. He needed to bring someone else through the door from the start of pre-season, so it's down to me to keep the shirt sort of thing. And I said to him, bring in whoever you want. I want to make myself the number one here and play as many games as I can. So, touch wood, I'll stay in and keep hopefully doing well.
And a clean sheet, at least, in terms of the keeping the back four, if you say you've been pleased with that.
Yes, obviously the first one of the season for us. And we need to thrive off that more, I think, obviously, with the late goals we've conceded. Some that you can't help, some that you can. But yeah, we need to thrive off that, because that's massive in a successful team. You need to keep clean sheets. You need to be looking at 15 to 20 at least, really, in the season to have a good season. So hopefully that kicks us off as a back the five unit, do you know what I mean? So hopefully we can have many more of them now.
And Joseph Pearce on the bench, it was good to see that... Will be coming back into the side in the very near future, get extra strength.
Yeah, nice. No, it's great to have everyone back. There's more than just Piercy. Obviously, he's a big factor for us at the back, but Reevesy, Clark, he's not a million miles away. Fosu, you know what I mean? So we're looking like a real strong outfit now, and hopefully we can kick on and really put a run together now.
In the last like kind of 2-3 years, you've had to be very patient to kind of get your chance. I mean, has that been frustrating for you?
Oh yeah, massively frustrating. It's horrible. No one wants to sit there and sort of be told you're not ready, you're too young, this and that. No one wants to be told that in whatever job you do. So nice. I'm just grateful to get my chance, and you don't really have enough time to think about it. The games are coming thick and fast. Saturday, Tuesday. So you just got to take it in your stride, and hopefully I'm doing that.
I guess the positive, the people that you have worked with in the last 2 seasons, you've got Declan Rudd and Benno, how much have they helped you?
Oh yeah, massively, yeah. Everyone I've worked with since I was a kid, everyone's helped me, do you know what I mean? So there's a new fresh goalie coach in this year as well, who's obviously putting his ideas to me, and I'm taking that on board sort of thing. So yeah, it's been a positive start kick on now. Like you say, we've got Southend in a week's time, which is going to be a massive game at their place, so we need 3 points there.
Yeah, there's obviously going to be a focus on that with it being Chris Powell.
Of course, yeah.
Tell me your memories of him being at the club.
Oh yeah, like I signed my first professional contract under the gaffer there, so yeah, fond memories of him. And obviously I was a kid when they won League One, and I watched it from afar from the stands, so yeah, it's just hopefully we can do something like that.
Yeah, that's got to be the aim, hasn't it? But what do you think you need to... It looks like the finishing at the moment, the last couple of games particularly, the cutting hedge hasn't quite been there, has it?
No, definitely not. The boys know that. They want to score... The strikers want to score 20 goals each, you know what I mean? They all want to score goals. And they know it needs to be better. Like we know that we need to keep more than one clean sheet out of 5 games or whatever it is. We both know it needs to be better in both boxes. We done one thing today, we kept the clean sheet, we couldn't quite put it in at the other end. So hopefully we can put both of them things together next week.
So yeah, that was Dylan Phillips talking after Saturday's game against Fleetwood. He kept his first clean sheet of the season. Sort of started off the interview. I mean, we've said it throughout the season so far that the whole Jed Steer thing, we were worried that meant that he was just going to lose his place straight away. But I mean, you can hear the confidence of the young man. Like, he didn't care who comes in, because he's so confident he's going to keep his place, and he's played like that so far.
Definitely, yeah. And I think I can't believe that's his first clean sheet. I think that's very unfair on him, because not only did he make a couple of outstanding saves at the weekend to keep that, but I think he's also done well. You'd argue maybe at Sunderland he was perhaps slightly at fault for one of those goals, but aside from that, he hasn't really been able to do anything more. I think he's been pretty decent. He's made some brilliant saves. And it must be difficult as a young keeper when you've waited for your chance. Someone of that reputation comes in at this level, you think, right, that's going to be the case. But credit to Bowyer for managing him well and for giving him that chance, because we all said that he deserves it and we wanted him to be number one. And credit to Dills for taking it as well, because it's not easy when you've got someone breathing down your neck. I'm sure you either go one way or the other, and at the moment he's stepped up and he's performing really well.
He talks about his frustration over the last couple of years. I mean, it was last season we thought he was going to get stuck out on loan, but then that never happened because we only had Rudd in as number one, so therefore he just remained as backup for the entire season. He talks about how difficult that is. I mean, you know, a goalkeeper's a very lonely position. There's only one in the squad. There's only one in the team. You know, it's not like, you know, I might play right back this week. He's either in goal or he's not. And when you've got a number one keeper, you know, like Ben Amos, sorry, last season, playing well, it must be quite, you know, hugely frustrating, because if you can't go out on loan and get your minutes, you're literally just sitting on the bench. You might as well come and sit up in the stands with us.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not like you say, it's not like you can just rotate your goalies every week. You could, but it'd be weird. Yeah, it can be frustrating for Dills, but then at the same time, you can understand, obviously, when Amos was playing well, he's more experienced. But then at the same time, like you say, I would have liked to have seen Dillon get out a full year to a League Two club or even a League One club. Because it's not only frustrating for him sitting on the bench for every week, it's also, you know, he needs to develop. And then people were saying, you know, he's not ready yet. But he's only going to be ready when he's been given a chance. So I'm glad that he's taken, I think apart from maybe Sunderland's first goal, which he was disappointed with him himself. Like you say, I don't think he's put a foot wrong, and it's his spot to lose now, and I think he's doing very well.
What about Jed Steer? So obviously he's come in, he'd be sitting on the bench now. Now, that's less of a concern to me because he'll be gone at the end of the season, if I'm being quite honest. But for him, it'll be quite interesting. He's now got to try and sit and try and take his place, try and impress Andy Marshall, the goalkeeper coach in training. But it must be a bit weird having played the championship match and now being sat on the bench a little bit.
Yeah, and I'm exactly the same as you. If I'm being brutally honest, I don't care. Because he's here, in my opinion, to do a job, and that's to push Dylan Phillips. Obviously, if Phillips drops out of form or gets injured, which is more likely given that he's a Charlton player, then he needs to be ready to step in and be professional, and I'm sure he will be. He's a good keeper. Look, he's going to be frustrated. I don't know how the whole scenario was pitched to him when he came in, but it seems very clear that it was pitched to Dylan that Dylan was going to be number one. Lee had said it in the press that Dylan was going to be number one, so you'd imagine Steer knew that. So if that's the case, he's chosen to come here and fight for that place, and it, unfortunately for him, he'll have to wait his chance. But as I say, as far as I'm concerned, we're developing our own keeper, and that's a good thing for the club and a good thing for Dylan as well.
Yeah, Dills was talking about the importance of getting his first clean sheet in that little clip, and obviously that is, you know, something we had to wait five games for. I think clean sheets have been a bit hard to come by, as we've seen so far this season. And we've moaned about the fact that at times we haven't been clinical enough in front of goal, but obviously it's both boxes that you need to be solid in, and to get the first one now, hopefully that'll be a big mental step, perhaps.
Yeah, it is, and it's just like strikers thrive on goals, goalies and obviously centre-halves and defenders thrive on clean sheets, and they'd all be delighted. And it's just a shame, really. Sunderland one, he was disappointed with. The Shrewsbury one was again disappointing because they lacked concentration. The Accrington one was just bobbled all over the place and then finished. So, it was disappointing, but yeah, hopefully he can... It breeds a little bit of confidence, but Dills is a confident lad anyway, so he ain't going to be fazed by it. But yeah, they thrive on clean sheets, and yeah, hopefully it's the first of many, because we got a few towards the end of last year when Bowes first come in.
Excellent stuff. Right, another quick break here on Charlton Live, and it's time to start looking ahead to Saturday's trip over to Rootsall to take on Southend United / Chris Powell United.
Great work from Tariq Fosu, and now it's Forster Kaski over here on this near side to take the corner. Swings it in, it's gone deep. Bowers at the far post, gets ahead of there. Oh, it's in! Patrick Bauer heads the ball down.
Come on!
Beyond Ian Lawler and into the back of the net for Charlton's opener.
Oh, I can't believe that went in, Terry Smith. The ball came in from Forster Kaski at the back post. Bauer's able to beat his man. He just heads it down on the ground almost.
Welcome back. It's Charlton Live, the Big Match Preview here on your podcast. Hopefully on your Friday morning, I imagine, travelling to work, or even on your Saturday, heading over to Roots Hall. Have a safe journey if you're going to the game. Time to look ahead to the clash. Looking forward to getting over there to Roots Hall on Saturday. Like we say, Chris Powell, of course, is currently the manager there. That adds a certain extra something to the tie for a lot of us. And we want to see hear about the game from a Southend point of view. So I caught up with BBC Essex and Nick Alica on the phone on Wednesday evening to find out how Southend have been getting on so far this campaign.
For Southend, they've been doing all right. It's been up and down. There's been a few low points. Not many of them, to be fair. There's been a few defeats in there, a few draws. But for the most part, Southend have played very well, as you'd expect under a Chris Powell team. They've done okay. They lost their first match by 3-2 against Doncaster at home when they bossed so much of the game. There was a 15-minute period when Doncaster had the cheek to score 3 goals, but there you go. Southend nearly got something from that. They drew against Plymouth Argyle down in the West Country. A couple of dodgy old penalties given by the referee, and Chris Powell was sent off in that match. One of the first managers to get a red card. He and Derek Adams were sent to the stands for handbags on the touchline. Blues continued their impressive form in the League Cup. They haven't won a game in that competition for 8 years. They were dumped out by Brentford, who were a class side, by the way, and that's no surprise that they're in the higher division than Southend and Charlton. They got the points against Bradford in a 2-0 victory. Lost the other midweek at Luton by 2-0. That was probably the only match where they didn't really turn up and they weren't impressive. And then they bounced back from that last weekend in the 1-0 victory down at Bristol Rovers and were in command for so much of that match. So as far as the Southend side is concerned at the moment, it's not going too badly. They would probably like to be a bit higher than they are in the league, but it's very, very early days.
It certainly is. And now Charlton fans won't be surprised at all to see that Chris Powell's doing so well there. And it's incredible when you think that when he took over Southend midway through last season, Southend were just 1 point and one place above the relegation zone, ended up finishing 10th. And I'm guessing, you know, he's a legend of a player down there as well. So I'm guessing he must be well liked by the supporters.
No, very much so. He was, as you quite rightly say, when he played for Southend, a legend. I remember seeing him play in the Blues defence. Really good quality defender. And he's bought that to his management style as well. Very confident. I'm not going to use the word laid back because that's wrong, but he's got a good way about him. The man management is right on the spot as far as Chris Powell is concerned. Southend were struggling in the last few months of Phil Brown's reign at Roots Hall, and they'd drifted towards the wrong end of the table. They needed to steady the ship. They needed to ensure they didn't drop into the fourth tier of English football. And Chris Powell did that and some. He got the side up into the top 10, which was quite an achievement in those last few weeks of the season. And now he's got a chance to shape his side. He's brought in several players over the summer. Unfortunately, quite a few of them have got injured, which is a big problem as far as Southend United are concerned at the moment. But he brought in several players and he's steadied the ship. And he's looking to go now to that next step. I think it's a really big step to try and get into that top six in the League One table. But they feel they've got the players on board that can achieve that. And they've got the team spirit around at the moment to achieve that, to try and get into those playoffs. You have to say the automatics are surely too far off for a Southend United. But they want to get into that top six. And that's what they're hoping come May next year.
Is that the stated aim? Because I remember when Chris Powell had his first summer at Charlton, he had a complete clear out, bought in entirely his own squad, and then went on to win the league with 101 points. I guess the budget will probably be slightly different at Southend. But, I mean, has he stated he thinks top six is a realistic aim?
I think promotion is the aim, whether it be in the top two or indeed the top six. He has offloaded some players that came to the end of their contracts last year, and he's brought in his own. The likes of Timothy Dieng in the midfield, experienced player from Bradford, good quality player, and he's impressed when he's played. One of those that has picked up an injury, which is a disappointment. Good defender at the back, Harry Lennon, came through the Charlton Academy, of course, but he's picked up a toe problem. He's broke one of his toes, so he's going to be out for a little while and won't be playing in the match on Saturday. Sam Mantham in the midfield, he was on loan at Southend United last year for 6 months, quality player, and he's impressed again this particular campaign, another one with a bit of a niggle. But the one that Blues are holding out hope for is Tom Hopper, striker who was released by Scunthorpe, signed on a 3-year deal, scored a few goals so far this campaign for Southend United, looks really lively up front, and he will be the man to be looked at to try and get goals in that match at Roots Hall on Saturday.
Mm. And the Charlton fans will remember last season that the 3-1 defeat that the Addicts had on Boxing Day. Charlton's record actually at Roots Hall isn't too good. I mean, how do you see the game going on Saturday?
I think if Southend United can quieten down the Charlton contingent, I'm sure they'll be coming down in numbers at the weekend early on and be on the front foot. I think it'll be a really good game, and it really will be a test for Lee Bowyer's side, to be honest with you. Southend have got the makings of a decent League One team this year, and if everything goes for them, thumbs up. Injury-wise, seems to be an issue at the moment. If they get some suspensions as well, could be an issue. And if everybody doesn't function as a team, there could be problems. But I think if everything is focused and Chris Powell gets them focused, it's really impressive, it seems to me, in the dressing room. They're all moving in the right direction. Then I reckon the Charlton are going to come up against a really strong side.
Brilliant to hear there from BBC Essex. Nick Alaka gave us lots of interesting insight on how Southend are doing. Similar to, obviously, Rosie Swarbrick from Fleetwood last week, seems to think the Southend are going to win the Champions League within the next 5 years. Not quite like that, but obviously saying that Southend have done well. I mean, you know, Powley went there last season. They were a 1 point and one place above the relegation zone when he took over. I think it was in... was it January? Oh, I can't remember. December time. But then, you know, he finished 10th, 13 points above the relegation zone. I mean, he turned them around in the second half of that season. Obviously, just after Phil Brown. It must have been January, because Phil Brown was still there when we went there, wasn't he, on Boxing Day. But, I mean, you expect nothing less from a Chris Powell side, really, do you?
That's exactly what I was about to say. If you've had Chris Powell as your manager, it's no real surprise. He's done well, you know, to different extremes everywhere he's been, I would suggest. You know, we don't need to talk any more about Chris Powell. I think everything we've wanted to say, we have already. It'd be the first time I've been to a game where he's managed the other team. I missed both of the games here against Huddersfield, so it'll be a bit weird. But, it's not going to be an easy game. They obviously won at the weekend, and they're kind of mid-table around us as well. I think they got two wins and a draw from their five games.
Yeah.
So they're a decent little side as well, and it's not going to be an easy game. We know how Powell plays. We know how he sets his teams up. They're going to be difficult to break down. And we're just going to have to be able to compete with that. As I say, it'll be interesting if Cullen comes in, what a difference that might make. But, it's going to be a tough test. Champions League, probably not for a few years. But, but yeah, they're a good side, and they're not to be underestimated.
Obviously, the Chris Powell factor is going to play a part for Charlton fans. It's going to be weird again, as it was the last couple of times. But, I mean, you know, at the same time, when he first came back with Huddersfield, we absolutely smashed him off the park. And, you know, it's great to see him again, as he's a legend player here and he was a great manager here as well. But as soon as it gets 3 o'clock, then you'll forget it's Chris Powell, won't you?
Yeah, and he'll be doing exactly the same. He'll probably say hello to he might pop over and give the fans a clap before or after the game. He'll say hello to staff like he always does, the gentleman he is. But like you say, yeah, as soon as that whistle goes, he's going to want 3 points, and our fans and Bowyer and the lads are going to want 3 points, regardless who's in charge. But yeah, it is like Tom said, it's going to be a difficult game. But I still think we're good enough to win. But yeah, it'd be nice. Obviously, I can't go Saturday, so it would be nice to see him. But obviously, we've got them at home at some point, so... Yeah, it'd be nice to see him, but yeah, we want 3 points, don't care who's in charge.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's look ahead to it from a Charlton point of view now. Of course, Charlton have suffered very much with injuries so far, forever really, but in particular this season. So let's hear from Lee Bowyer, who may well be back in time for Saturday's game.
Tariq Fosu will be on the bench. Was Piercy on the bench last week? He was on the bench. So, yeah, just Tariq, I think, is maybe Ben Reeves. Ben Reeves could be on the bench as well this weekend. So, yeah, and obviously, if we bring another addition in, then they'd be in the squad as well. So, yeah, our bench is going to start looking a lot different to it did on against Sunderland, you know, the opening day. So, it's... It is good. I'm getting excited.
Ben Reeves has had a bit of a checkered history since he's been here with injuries. Has he satisfied you that his fitness is 100% now?
Well, of course he's not 100% fit. He's only been training for maybe 10 days, 2 weeks now with the team. So he got injured second day of pre-season, so he's had a long time out. But he's a good player and he looks after himself off the pitch and he works hard in the gym while he is injured. So yeah, he looks a little bit rusty, but he's a good footballer and could be a good addition to bring off the bench maybe last 10, 15 minutes to try and make something happen. But he's just been unlucky, I guess, with injuries, and hopefully that'll change for him now that he's back training and get some game time.
You go head-to-head with Chris Powell at South Bend, revered by Charlton supporters, a big favourite. You relishing that?
Yeah, obviously, up against any manager, but Chris, obviously, I know well, so it'd be good to go head-to-head, toe-to-toe, whatever way you want to dress it up, but he's an experienced manager and he know what his team's capable of, and I'm guessing he's would have watched videos of us and know what we're capable of. So it should be a good physical game on Saturday, I'm sure of that.
Says Lee Bowyer, looking ahead to Saturday's trip to Roots Hall to take on Chris Powell United. Some good news, and it sounds like Fosu's going to be on the bench. I mean, how fit he'll be and whether it's, we're going to risk him, we don't know. It's the same with Piercy on the bench last week. But also Reeves possibly, and it sounds to me like he thinks that Cullen's going to be in the squad minimum, so he could be on the bench or even in the starting lineup. But you know, now these players are finally coming back, now we're starting to look a little bit more like a Charlton team that might be able to, you know, compete in this division.
Yeah, I think, and not only compete, I think the main thing for me was especially at Quinton away, for me, someone to come on and change a game, and even Fleetwood. I felt we didn't really have that part in midfield or up front, because someone could just give us something different. Like Fosu, yeah, you know, he won't start. He might get 10 minutes, but he's someone who has a different dimension to what we have in the starting 11, and it is starting to pick up nicely. And me and Tom are just saying off air, when Clarkey comes back, I mean, you're going to look at the bench and no one's going to want to play against, even if Fosu off the bench, no matter if he's 60% or 100% fit, if you're a defender and you see Fosu coming on with 10 minutes to go, you ain't going to be looking forward to it. So yeah, it's all good. You know, it's looking positive now, but we can't rest on our laurels. We're still a bit behind, obviously, Peterborough, who is sort of running away with it a bit. But yeah, it's positive news, and hopefully we get a good result on Saturday.
Reevesy coming back into the squad as well. I mean, someone who on paper should be able to create some chances, which is what we've struggled with at times, perhaps a little bit of creativity.
Yeah, I think so. He's like you say, it's on paper, that's the thing, because he's another one,
same as Marshall,
not really impressed enough for me. And I know he was a bit, we had that issue at the start of last season that he wasn't getting fit enough, and then he struggled a couple of times with injuries. But I never felt, when Clark got injured, he was such a big blow, and you thought, right, Ben, here's your chance to really take that number 10 position, and he never really did it. And then obviously Bowyer came in, changed the formation a bit. I don't really know where he fitted into a 4-4-2. So yeah, it's going to be difficult. I mean, to have him back on the bench is obviously good, because we need as many bodies as we can get in terms of strength in numbers. And like Nath says, if you've got the likes of him, the likes of Tariq, if and when he gets there, Cullen, if he's on the bench, or Lapsley, or Aribo, even depending on how that midfield sets up, we're starting to actually build together a squad now. And Bowyer said it was going to take a little while. These injuries have been frustrating. I think we've held our own. Results have been a bit against us, I know, but I think in terms of performances, we haven't been that bad on the whole. And I think, you know, we need to start changing those results around fairly soon, and I think these bodies will hopefully help to do that.
Do you think there's a chance that Cullen will come straight in?
It's a possibility, of course there is, but I'd be surprised if it is, because, I mean, what, he's going to have 2 days training. I think it'll all depend on how Aribo and Pratley are. I can't see, because I can envisage, obviously, Christian sitting in that defensive mid role when he'll drop into the back three and then the wing-backs are bomb on. It all depends on Pratley and Aribo for me, but obviously, he's a good player, but I'd probably say he'd probably sit on the bench.
Other than that, I can't really see any major changes. You expect, you definitely expect the front two to keep cracking on. Yeah, I don't think there'd be any other changes, really.
No, the only other one you'd think is maybe Eagle, but I think it's too early for that to throw him back in.
Or Jason Pearce, but I thought Naby Saad had a good game.
I thought Saad did fine as well. So
I think Eagle looks so unfit, didn't he, as well. Exactly. So I'll be shocked if he's... after 5 minutes. If Bayer feels like he's at the start.
We've got the Checker trade game, haven't we, on Tuesday, so we can give him a run out then.
Exactly, you've got to concentrate on the big games coming up on Tuesday. Who is that against?
Who have we got again?
Wimbledon.
Wimbledon,
yeah, I think. Wimbledon's at home.
Swansea,
Wimbledon, and Stevenage. Stevenage is away at some point.
Stevenage,
Clearly something we're looking forward to.
Get those tickets.
Yeah. I think they've sold out, I think.
Yeah. They've actually decided to close all four stands. Let's start looking at it. I mean, in terms of a Jacko's jackpot, we came nowhere near last week.
No,
unfortunately.
I looked at Southend's home form. They've played three, scored six at home, but they've conceded seven.
Ooh.
So there could be goals in it.
There's definitely one at each end.
Exactly. So I don't know. I'm going to...
that Charlton one.
I reckon...
There was one Charlton to win and both teams to score 11-1.
Yeah, you can do see that.
Or you could... I reckon we'll win 2-1, so that'll fit in with that. It just may be a goal score. We've said Carlin literally every week. Although we said Eagle.
Well, let's play a safer bet. Let's go for Charlton to win, both teams to score, 11-1. That would win 30 quid for the upbeats, which is 30 quid more than we've won every other week. So let's just go for that. Right, let's have your actual predictions for the game coming up, Tom.
2-1 Charlton.
2-1 Charlton.
3-2 Charlton.
3-2 Charlton. I'm gonna throw my hat into the ring. I'm gonna go also 2-1 Charlton. So there you go. Right. This has been Charlton Live, the Big Match Preview. Although ironically, we call it Charlton Live. This has been Charlton Podcast, the Big Match Preview. Thank you for listening all the way to the end. I've been Louis Mendez. Thanks for coming in, Tom.
Cheers, Lee.
Thanks for coming in, Nathan. We'll be back here live on Maritime Radio on Sunday evening at 7 o'clock as we look back at whatever happened against Southend. Let's hope that it's 3 points for them Charlton boys. We'll see you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.